is a great desire to know God's will. And for most of us in the past, because we haven't known this as a way of life, the will of God has been known to us as something, in a sense, out there. You know, God knows His will. It's His desire and plan for us, and we have to figure it out. One priest said it this way, which I like very much because I'm an English major. He said, you know, we thought for the most of our lives that I am the subject doing an action, which is the verb, and the object is God's will that I'm trying to do. But now when I learn to live this way, God's will is the subject acting in me. God's will is the verb, is the one eternal act of God, and the object is also the will of God. So now everything is God's will. Acting, doing the act of God Himself, the one eternal act of God, and then accomplishing, fulfilling the will of God as well. So if some of this sounds a little strange to you who are here for the first time, don't worry, it sounded strange to me too. It sounded strange to all of us, and I always like to share again my story because it's a good reminder to me as well as to you that for several years I was given these writings of Louisa and I was not interested in them. I said, well, I'm a Franciscan, I don't need that. You know, and so I was in parishes, mostly in California, one in Oregon, and I just wasn't interested in private revelations. As you're going to find, most priests today are not. That's just, it's the way we're trained. We're very intellectually trained today. We're not very open to these kinds of mystical and supernatural phenomena. In fact, we're taught to be very skeptical of them, which probably we should be. In any case, for years I was given it. Finally, I was supposed to go back to the Holy Land where I'd lived for 3 years and loved it greatly and wanted to go back. And so I called my mother and said, Mom, I'm going back to the Holy Land. And this was around 1990. And, of course, the Middle East is always upset, but it was especially bad then. And she said, oh, no, you're not. And I said, well, why not? I'm praying to go back. And she said, well, I'm praying you don't. And I said, and what makes you think God's going to listen to your prayer more than mine? She said, because I'm your mother. And God always listens to the prayers of mothers. And it's true. Mothers have tremendous prayer power. Don't you forget it. In any case, I was ready to go. I was on a little retreat getting ready to go back, and I get a letter saying, you're not going back. I never spoke to my mother again. In any case, what happened the next day was the real miracle. I was praying in the church, kind of despondent. Well, what do I do now, God? In fact, I was asking our Blessed Mother because I've always devoted my priesthood to her. And as I was praying, somebody walked in the mission. I was at one of the California missions out in the desert, way from just middle of nowhere. So I turn around because there was nobody else around that I knew of. And there in the sunlight and shadow, I could see his outline, was a Franciscan dressed like I am. Only his was an old army blanket, made out of an old green army blanket. So we met. He spent a week with us. We talked, and he says, well, Father, he says, I see you're kind of not sure where God's leading you. He says, but I have a great help to you to know God's will. And I said, what's that? And he said, Louisa Picaretta. And I said, oh, no, not interested, been told about it. He said, well, look, would you just read this page and I'm going to pray for you. And if you don't get this, you're going to shoot yourself when you get to heaven. So I said, okay, I'll read. So I read the page and I liked it. I thought, well, this is, you know, God had kind of emptied me out enough to be ready for something different. He prayed and his prayers were very powerful. And I read for 3 years without really getting it. I mean, I liked it. I was doing the hours of the Passion probably every day. I was even then assigned to a hermitage. Everyone had it all planned. 3 years, imagine, just to do nothing but pray, you know, and do the lawn and that kind of thing. Hard work, but nothing pastoral. So I was reading all the time, and one day I said, Lord, I don't know where this is going after 3 years. If you want me to get this, you're going to have to give me some real help here, because I'm a little dense, you know. It just hadn't come together. So I prayed intensely for the grace to know God's will as it is, as God's will. Not for me. I just want to know you. I want to know your will. A couple of weeks later, I was doing the hours of the Passion, and I felt myself completely flooded with this peace and light and filled with this light. And at the time, I wasn't sure what it was all about. But after a few seconds that probably seemed like eternity, I realized something had changed inside of me. And from that point on, as I started reading, it was perfectly clear. And it was absolutely the most beautiful, full understanding of God's will that I had ever had. From that moment, I never really had another question, never had another doubt about it. And then I said, Lord, okay, now what do you want me to do with this? And then a few days later, I get a call from Tom Fay, teaching the Divine Will in Florida, saying, I hear you're studying. Louisa, would you come give a talk at our conference? So that was 1998, something like that, beginning of my mission for the Divine Will. So I understand very well when people are slow to understand this and to accept it, because I was. And I always say, if God, kind of like St. Paul, God knew I would be a tough case, and if he could convert me to it, he could convert anyone. So if you have any questions or doubt, those of you who still might be discerning and learning, be encouraged. But the main reason I tell it is this: it is a grace. It is the grace of all graces, the miracle of all miracles, to know this way of life. Jesus told Louisa, he said, you know, from all eternity, I wrote this. I knew this would be written on your heart. And he said, I wrote it there myself. So all that we're doing, besides reading, because we need to see it outside of ourselves. But he says, when you see it there, it's simply a confirmation of what's already inside. And so all that we're doing is really confirming the work of God in us when we come to know this way of life. And it's to accept it. Louisa said, you know, it's true, because she said, when I write, at first it seems a little difficult, but then it just flows. She says, it just comes right out of me. And, you know, I've been on the radio now 7 years talking about Louisa and the will of God, and not once has it been, it's always a little difficult to start, you know. It's always a little, even to come here and to get up and start talking about it. But once I go, I can't shut up. It just flows, because it's all there, you see. It just comes out. And Jesus says, you can't hide this light. You know, if you block light, it's going to go around. And he says, if the church even tries to block this, I'm going to find a way to get it out. So the light of the divine will wants to be known. And how blessed we are to be people that God has chosen, Our Lady has chosen in God's will to make it known to us. This first talk is kind of the theme of the retreat, which is the divine mercy and divine will, the great signs of our times. I've given this now in I don't know how many places in Europe and the States, and I hope it's helpful, but I always think it's very good to look at things in the big picture. And one of the biggest problems that I find people in the way they present Louisa is they present her in isolation, as though she were some, you know, aberration or something so new and different that it doesn't have anything to do with what's come before, and that's not the case at all. It is the great fulfillment of what's come before. But everything in the church since, you know, the incarnation, God, and since the church began at Pentecost, is organic. God doesn't normally do anything out of the blue. I mean, Fatima, which we celebrate a great anniversary next year, wasn't an anomaly. It didn't come out of time. It was very much a message for that time. And that's what the Catechism says private revelation does. It helps us to live Word of God, divine revelation, better in a particular time. And therefore, we need to know something about the times in which we live. His Holiness St. John Paul II in 1991 gave this talk to the bishops of Europe, and it's kind of stood out as one of the great hallmarks of his pontificate. He says, "It is precisely upon the word of the Lord that the roots of the church are founded. The witness of the Spirit reveals the signs of the times of the world to the world of today. The Spirit of the risen Lord has not finished speaking. As the Apostle John affirms, whoever believes will do greater things than these. Not everything has been revealed. That which will be has not yet been made manifest." But he didn't know Louisa, at least not in any fullness. "Man is continuously being approached by the Spirit, so let us permit ourselves to be guided by the Spirit. Isn't this perhaps what the world of today is mostly waiting for? Is some sign from God?" You know, the world obviously has not been getting better in many senses. It's gotten worse. And we see the moral decay today and the corruption all over the place. So even in our own country, you know, we see the political scene today that's just so confused and frustrating. So the world is waiting for something. And Jesus says to Louisa, he says, you know, one of the great signs that something great's coming is when everybody is in expectation for something to come. And so he has chosen this time to reveal his mercy and the divine will as his greatest, most perfect gift of mercy to the world now. So, St. Faustina, as we all know, was secretary of the Mercy, Divine Mercy, was alive when Louisa was. She died, I believe, in 1930-something. Louisa dies in 1947. St. Faustina was only 33 years old. Louisa was 81, almost 82. But Louisa's life encompasses that of Faustina in the same way that the divine will encompasses God's mercy. You say, well, how could anything be greater than God's mercy? Well, God himself, because God's mercy is not God. God's mercy is an attribute of God. It's not who God is. God is three persons with one will from which flow all of his attributes. So the will of God is infinitely greater than God's mercy because it's the source of God's mercy. Volume 24, Jesus says to Louisa, "Even those who are good today feel that something necessary is missing in them. They feel that their works are not complete." This is 1928. "And everyone longs for something greater, but they themselves do not know what it is." And of course, he was now going to teach Louisa what it is. It is his will being made known to the church and to the world in our time. In 1919, he says to Louisa, "Every 2,000 years I've renewed the world. The first 2,000, I renewed it with the flood. Second 2,000, with my coming on earth." And then he says, "But now, the good ones and the very saints of the following 2,000 years have lived for the fruits from the fruits of my humanity, and in drops only have they enjoyed and known my divinity. Now we are around the third 2,000 years, and now comes the third renewal. You say, certainly the Vatican Council was that in many ways for the church, but it was only the preparation. The charismatic renewal was only the preparation. It was a great preparation, as the Vatican Council was. But the real renewal is the will of God coming to be known today, not as something out there for me to do, but as the very source of God's life now operating in me, as the source now of my own life. And then he says again in 1919, I'm preparing the era of the living in my will for all that creatures have not done in past generations and will not do. In this era of my will, they will complete the love, the glory, the honor, the whole creation, and I will give them astonishing and unheard of graces. He promises great graces to those who live this way and want to know this. So it's a great grace to know it, first of all, and it is an even greater grace to live it. Because to know something and not apply it is not going to do you a whole lot of good. And we all know that we can have a lot of information and a lot of knowledge today, but most of it probably doesn't even help us very much in our Christian lives. If you look at the percentage of things in the media and TV and computers. But what is most going to help us, dear friends, is to know the source of all goodness itself, which is the will of God. 1921, February 8th, Jesus says, you're plotting how to destroy my temples and altars. You're plotting to destroy my church and kill my ministers. You see it certainly in recent times. You know, the more martyrs in the Catholic Church than, I believe, St. John Paul II said, in the 20th century than in all other centuries put together. But he says, while you are preparing all of this, I am preparing an era of love, the era of my third fiat, which is the era of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what this is all about. We call it the fiat of sanctification, the third work of God. He says, you will make your own way in order to banish me, but I will confuse you by ways of love. I will follow you from behind. I will come toward you from the front so as to confuse you in love. And wherever you have banished me, I will raise my throne and I will reign there more than before, but in an even more astonishing way, so much so that you yourself will fall at the foot of my throne as though bound by the power of my love. I will be occupied with the preparing of this era of the third fiat, in which my love will show off in a marvelous and unheard of way. Yes, I want to confuse you with love. And therefore, be attentive. I want you with me in preparing this heavenly divine era of love. If it's the work of the Holy Spirit, it must be a work of love, because that's who the Holy Spirit is, and we'll talk about that more in the next section of this talk. But first I thought, maybe just to see, while these concepts or ideas are still in your mind in a little strange way, if you have any questions or comments that come to mind right now. Yes. The question is, who said that at the conference last year? The person who said it was the head of the president of the association, Luisa Picaretta, which is the official instrument of the church, both the diocese and the one that represents the diocese at the Vatican, for all things to do with Luisa. His name is Father Sergio Pellegrini, which means pilgrim in Italian. Yes, sir. Well, if you read them, you're cooperating in disobedience because they have asked the people to take those off. And part of the reason is the ones that are there are not good translations. And that's one of the primary reasons. The other reason is it's in violation of the copyright that the diocese owns to the writings. That's why they do not. See, publishing is a technical term. Publishing means publishing by a professional company in large volume, selling publicly to anybody who wants it to make a profit. This is not publishing, what we're doing. We're allowed to copy them for the use of our groups and for our individuals. But they really don't even like them, for example, to be sold publicly on the internet, because that looks like publishing. It's not, but it can look like publishing. Now, we are, by the way, what came out of the conference last year also was the permission now to publish, officially, legitimately publish, the Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary book. Those have already been republished by the Center for the Divine Will here in this country. I know some others have also put them out. So those are available, and those are legitimate because they are not their devotional works. The Book of Heaven, the diary, it's usually called in Italy, the diary is a highly theological work. And that means it's got a lot of understanding of the teachings of the church in it. And not that it's in error, but it's very theological. And therefore, that is what they're most concerned about getting out in bad translations. But it's not a question of the theology. It's a question of the versions that are made available to the public. Well, it's a good question. How do you know if it's a good translation or not? Well, I just tried to give you a really big hint earlier. But there are others. I don't want to say this on video, but there are others. But the ones that you have available here is the best translation I know of. And I've translated, Louise. I know Italian. So I can honestly say that what you have available is as good as you're going to find today. Yes, sir. Yes, I think we could interpret it that way. They're great things in themselves. It's not to diminish their importance in the church, especially the Second Vatican Council, which I'll talk about extensively a little bit later. But what I'm saying is everything comes together in this marvelous, whole, complete way in the understanding of the divine will. This is not only my opinion. It is many people's opinion today, theologians who are reading this. In its perfect, absolute fullness, the kingdom will reign only with the return of Jesus. Now, well, the difference is that it's always a paradox in the church that the kingdom is coming. It started coming with the incarnation, with Jesus becoming man. It has been revealed throughout his life, death, and resurrection. It continues to grow through the life of the church for 2,000 years. It's continuing to grow in the world until the end of time. But it is not perfect. The kingdom of God does not come in its perfection for us. Why? Because we're still living in the consequences of original sin. So whatever man does on his part is not perfect yet. God does perfect things. The kingdom is perfect in itself. But the problem is You know, we're all in God's will. You can't get out of it. Hell is in God's will. The devil is in God's will because God created it all. So everything, it couldn't exist without God's will. Everything's in it. But the difference is knowing God's will and what it means to be in it and to have it living in you. That's the difference. And it's only by coming to understand this fullness of what the kingdom is and how God wants it to reign in us, does it meet its destiny, its purpose for which God created us. Yeah. And it's growing all the time. This is the teaching of the church. The kingdom of God was in its fullness only when Jesus, perfect fullness in the incarnation of Jesus, and we can say in Mary as a creature. But since they're in heaven now, the church continues is the kingdom on earth, at least to be bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And so it's the work of the church, and what the church has been doing for all these years is to hasten the fullness of that coming of the kingdom. What we get in Louisa and the Divine Will is a step forward, a catapulting that the church has really not fully known before since Pentecost. It is the deepest understanding of what Pentecost was all about, which is, if you can stick around for the talk on the Holy Spirit, I think it'll help a whole lot. Another question up front? Yes. You had another question? Mm-hmm. Which official? There's several that say they're official that are not official. We can talk about that. I'm sorry, Tom, what were you going to say? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the question was about what she saw as the official website for... The only official website that exists, only one. Nobody else in the world has an official website. There's only one. It's the Association Louisa Picaretta out of Corrado, Italy. If that's the one you're looking at, that's the official website. Anything I have or anybody else has to publish their conferences, their talks, those have no... I don't want to say approval, but they're not authorized by the official association of Louisa. We're free to do it, but we're not doing it because we're authorized. The Archbishop of Italy has said this many, many, many times. He said it again last year. No one in the world is authorized by the association or her diocese to teach the divine will. No one. But that doesn't mean we can't. And the reason they don't authorize anybody is because it's not their authority. Only a local bishop and a local superior can grant that authority, even for lay people, by the way. Teaching today anything to do with the doctrine of the church or the church, no matter what level it is now, bishops want to approve it. So fortunately, we have that. For this gathering is very important. Why? Because it's up to the local bishop. He has the bishop is the teaching authority of that diocese. And in our Catholic Church, the diocese is everything. You know, the bishop reports to Rome, but everything's under the bishop. So if the bishop says it's okay, or if my religious superior says it's okay, then, and gives me the assignment to do this, which he has, then it's okay. See, but it's always in obedience to the church. And the Bishop of Corrado cannot say anything about what happens in this diocese. It's not his jurisdiction. You see? Yes, sir. No, you didn't hear what I said. I don't have authority from Italy, but I don't need authority from Italy. I have authority from my superior and the local bishop. That's all I need. No, he didn't. He said, no one has my authority to invest them to do it. That's not the same thing. He knows very well what I'm doing and what many others are doing. Oh, yeah. He's just saying, I'm not the one to authorize it. And that's a very important thing to know, because your local bishop is everything. It's your local bishop who has that authority. No one else. Yes. Well, the diocese through the somebody there. But yes, I received that permission. It's not so much an authority, because they're not author. See, the word authorizing is very strong. It means I endorse what you're doing. No, all you get in a diocese is a permission to do what you're doing. And same for my superior. He doesn't know anything about the divine will, but he trusts me. He says, if that's what you believe is your mission, then I assign you to do that full time, which has only been now 3 months. Thanks be to God. So it is a great, you want to talk about miracles today in the church. That's a miracle. To have a priest assigned full time to the divine will is, thanks be to God. I'm sorry? Oh, who knows? All right. Well, let's take a break and, let's see. We'll come back with the 2:15. Is that right, Dave? More or less. 2:15. We'll see you back here. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and it shall be, world without end. Amen. Have some,